Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Smith writing and rewriting history. First ever national title for Texas Tech.
Jonathan Garibay, the boot is away. And it's gone!
Welcome all, to the Tortillas and Takes podcast. You are on once again with your boy, Albie Shore. And the red team from Lubbock will be playing the red team from Houston this Saturday afternoon. We have a day game. And to discuss this day game, what we are calling the mid-off of Texas, we have the people's champ that is Jeremy Gillen. What's up, Jerm?
What's up, Albie? I've never been so unenthusiastic to talk about a football game in my life. So here we are.
Well, I wonder how unenthused the fan base is. Like, what we've been, first of all, we've been flexed to FS2. So even Fox Sports was like, nah, don't nobody want to see this, right? So we've been flexed to FS2, which I don't even know if a lot of people have FS2, right? And, you know, whenever we played Tarleton State, everybody was very surprised, Tarleton State. Everybody was very surprised at how packed the stadium was, right? It was packed for Oregon, of course, but it was also packed for Tarleton State, and it was a little bit of a surprise. That interesting, despite being 0-2, a pretty packed house, right? And you talked about it, you mentioned it, like that was your first game there, and it was a very big surprise then. Now, but after that. And maybe a big piece of that was that despite we were 0-2, we were still, and despite being 0-2, and despite the fact that the way we lost to Oregon, we still played a top 15 team pretty well. So maybe that gave fans hope. That hope was likely dashed when you're losing to one of the worst teams in the Big 12 in West Virginia. You know, I'm curious if this will still be a packed house. Mind you, the game is technically sold out. I mean, I'm looking at the tickets right now. It's still a $43 ticket, $50 ticket for nosebleeds, right? So, like, that shows that there's at least some want for this game. There's at least some people are going, right? But what do you think the fan base's approach to this game is? Or maybe it's the thought of, hey, well, we should be able to win this game, maybe, hopefully, for the love of God.
I do think that an interesting piece of it for, like, to keep up intrigue is that Houston is a team that we've, in recent history, had success against, that, like, okay, maybe we can continue that energy. Also, Donovan Smith is coming back to play for the Cougars this time, and it is Houston's, like, first time in the Jones as a Big 12 team. So there's, like, a lot of small storylines going on here. Not that that's really anything to get fans up in a hustle about, but I don't know. What else are you going to do at a 2:30 on a Saturday?
That's true. I mean, so it is interesting. So Barron Morton, who did get hurt in last week's game, is going to play. He's the starter. Tyler Shuck, of course, is out. But Barron Morton is going to start in this game. So that has some intrigue as well. You mentioned Donovan Smith coming back to play his former team. There drives in some intrigue there. But let's talk about Barron Morton. First start of the year. What is this going to be? Second career start overall. He started last year's game against Oklahoma State before getting injured himself. This will be his second career start. And his first full week is QB1. Even last year against Oklahoma State, I don't know if he had. Remember, he wasn't announced as a starter until game day, right? So this may be his first week of knowing that I am QB1. I am the starting quarterback for the Texas Tech Red Raiders. I am practicing with the ones. This is my offense. Let's roll. The first week where the offensive coordinator is at Kittley is saying, okay, this is my quarterback. This is the quarterback that I have, right? So that may change things against what is, let's face it, not the best defense.
I think that there is, past the casual football fan, right? Because what we're starting to talk about now is kind of the deeper in line of, we're interested to see where Morton, where Morton's going to come at. Like, where Morton's going to come at in this game. Is he going to improve on his, like, last week it was 13-37, 158 yards, right? Not a stellar performance. Not the same kind of performance that he had against Oklahoma State, which is where a lot of people have, like, gathered a lot of that energy around wanting Morton to be the starter. Really didn't pan out against West Virginia. And not necessarily his fault, but now we get to see no holds barred. You know, he had a whole week with the ones in practice. Now he gets to start the game. What is he going to get going against a team that is not doing well this season? But I will say, Houston has done a very good job of taking the ball away. They've got, like, I think they have 6 interceptions on the season already and 3 forced fumbles. So the defense, for all its woes, has done a really good job, better than we have, in terms of taking, like, getting takeaways on defense. So it's going to be kind of an interesting, will Morton be able to protect the ball well and play effectively? Or is Houston going to still continue this trend of getting takeaways and putting their team in a good spot to do something with it? You know, whether they do that or not, kind of sounds like Texas Tech. But, you know, they're also having a decent defensive season in regards to that.
Yeah, like a good example of that is UTSA. UTSA, they balled. They balled out against UTSA. 3 interceptions in that game. You know, I do look at the biggest reference point to how good or bad Houston may be is the TCU game. They got beat 36-13. But to your point, they got 2 turnovers in that game. Despite getting beat by 23 points, they still got a fumble recovery and an interception. And despite, and I will say, you got to watch out for Malik Fleming, right? Malik Fleming is having himself a bit of a year. Already 3 interceptions on the year for Malik Fleming. And that's Houston's whole MO. Like, the Houston Cougars' whole MO is, our team top to bottom is not very good, but we got some studs that could play anywhere, right? Tank Dell was a receiver for a few years there. He could play anywhere. Ed Oliver, DT that they had, could have played anywhere. And so that, and Malik Fleming's another one. Like, that's, and that's how Houston has been for a long time, where they just top to bottom, not a very good team. But then there's some guys that just flash, and I do think Malik Fleming is one of those guys, right? He's already matched his season total from last year in what, 4 games? So definitely one to watch out for. If you think that Duran Bradley is open and Malik Fleming's the one supposed to be guarding him, he may not be that open. And so I wonder. So for Morton to understand that I got to watch out for some of these guys is going to be important. So let's talk about the Houston Cougars, Jeremy. Let's talk about them. So the Houston Cougars, right? So their quarterback. You know what, Mr. Dillon, the floor is yours. Talk about Donovan Smith.
As we may know, Houston's starting quarterback for the season is one Donovan Smith, who played an excellent, albeit trouble-laden season last year with the Red Raiders during our kind of quarterback carousel throughout the season, not really deciding who's who. And then by the time the bowl game came around, Donovan Smith is ultimately pigeonholed into the gadget quarterback style, like that, hey, we're in the red zone, we're needing a big quarterback to make a difference, and like, if we're going to do a run or an RPO, you know, have somebody who can get us that short yardage really well. And he, of all the 3 quarterbacks we had, Donovan Smith is the one that you wanted to be able to run for like 3 yards to get you the first. He's a guy that's so big, if he falls down, he's gaining a yard. So in the offseason, deciding to transfer out of Texas Tech, ends up going to Houston, who we pick up in the Big 12. Not an incredible season so far. Hasn't played out of his mind. He had a good game against UTSA, but struggled a lot against a Rice team that is actually proving to be a lot better than most people thought, unless your name was Shahan. And it's just like, that was a surprise. And then TCU obviously struggling against a very veteran or a very strong, traditionally strong defensive team in the Horned Frogs. But did get a bounce back. I mean, bounced back pretty well against... they just played Sam Houston, and it's not like a big thing, but it's good for momentum building. He goes 31 of 40, nearly throwing 300 yards with a touchdown. And so, Donovan Smith, we know what we're getting into, right? This is a big quarterback, physically large quarterback, who when he gets in the zone, if you allow him to get a rhythm, to get some confidence, it's hard to beat him. And so, that kind of takes away the question of the offensive coordination for Houston. Like, I was on the Scott and Holman podcast, and they were kind of having some grievances that they're still trying to figure out how to use Smith most effectively. Like, they know that he's their QB1, but they don't really know how to best utilize him and balance his running ability with a kind of growing passing ability, right? He's not the stellar passer, but he's like...
They know how to use him when it's first and goal from the two. Tell you that much.
They know what short yardage. They know, again, they know what they got. Short yardage guy, he's it. So just really try to figure out how to make him most effective, and I expect that to be an interesting foray into this game, as he is very familiar with Texas Tech. Like, he spent time here. He knows Joey McGuire. He knows the system. How do you come out and perform against that? How does Dana Holgorsen draw up against a team that he's been having a lot of trouble with as the Cougars coach? So I expect him to have a decent game, but I am curious to see how he holds emotionally against a team that he wanted to play for but never got the opportunity.
Who would you rather have? Donovan Smith, 94 for 155, a little over 1,000 yards passing, 8 touchdowns total, 5 passing, 3 running, and 3 picks, with losses to Rice and TCU? Or would you rather have Tyler Shuck, 67 for 111, 746 yards, 7 touchdowns, 4 picks, with losses to Wyoming and Oregon?
You already know my answer. I want the guy who's not hurt. I want the guy.
No, I'm asking, who do you think is having a better season? Like, if you had to pick.
If it was just those head, and Shuck was still starting, I think Donovan Smith is having the better season, because Donovan Smith isn't a veteran. Tyler Shuck should have, I think his stats should look a lot differently, even though the teams that we have played, there have just been opportunities kind of left on the field, whether it's his fault, whether it's the receiver's fault, whether it's the offensive coordinator's fault. Like, you know, there's been a lot more left on the field. I think with Donovan Smith, I still give him the learning to be QB1 for an entire season buff, you know, and I think that he just has a higher ceiling with the time that they have left. And so far throughout the season, I think Donovan Smith's having a better year. Albeit, I would say that the competition for Shuck has been harder. But in the same thing, like, he played really well against Oregon, but he fell flat against Tarleton State. Like, he didn't perform really. He could have dominated in Tarleton State, and he really didn't. And so, and then, you know, that West Virginia beginning was a wash, but it just didn't feel like anything was changing. So, for me, in my opinion, it's just Donovan Smith.
So, Jeremy, why do you hate white QBs? you know, we're really kicking off the mid off of Texas, right? Because they're both bad answers. They're both having pretty crappy years. But I will say, 8 touchdowns on the season for Donovan Smith is impressive. Like I said, short yardage, they know he's a big boy, he's going to get it in. And so that's something that I will say has been a kind of a strength for Texas Tech. Texas Tech is the 13th best run defense by metrics in the country for Power 5 teams. And so our run defense has actually been pretty good. And I do think Donovan Smith, not a fast guy. He's never been a fast guy. His whole thing is, I am big, I'm going to try, and as a quarterback, I'm surprisingly probably able to run you over, right? But we got some guys on our line. This is one of the biggest lines we've had, with the exception of skinny Steve Linton on the side there, but it's one of the bigger lines that we've had. And so it's going to be harder for him to do a 2-yard run up the middle. It's going to be harder for him to do some of these things, to kind of play a little bit more into our strength. And it also, but their strength, kind of that yin and yang, is Donovan Smith being the power back. Then they got a guy out in Klein Forest, Klein, Texas, Parker Jenkins, right? Parker Jenkins, true freshman, 18 years old, straight out of high school, had a really good season. He's RB1 right from the jump for U of H, and he's had a really, really good season, averaging over 5 yards a carry and 3 touchdowns. And so that is kind of there. And he's fast, quick guy, was under-recruited, and he's really showing out immediately for this team, already having a few good games. Though I will say that's how TC was able to dominate, is because he ain't do too much. A lot of his production has come from that Sam Houston game from last week, where he did get over 100 yards for the first time in his career. But Parker Jenkins is definitely an interesting one coming out of Klein there. Also, another one to look out for, which, great name, right? All Big 12 name, Joe Manjack. Joe Manjack the fourth.
There's been three other
Joe Manjacks. All right. So, but when you have a last name like Manjack, you got to be tough. Like, that's this, at this level, you're a tough guy.
Tough and terrifying. That's what screams to me.
Because you can't go through your whole life with the last name Manjack and not be...
And be a Manjack.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, come on, man. There's like, the jokes are just filling up in my head right now. And I don't even know the guy. Imagine if I actually knew him and he was a close friend. Oh, my God. Right? But he's actually, jokes aside, Joe Manjack is having a really good season, as is the receiving core overall. Samuel Brown is also right now currently leading the team in receiving yards with 400 yards total, as is Golden right now. And Matthew Golden, 4 touchdowns on the season. And so that receiving core is good. They're helping Donovan Smith out, and I think that's a big reason why he has over 1,000 yards, because it's a decent receiving core. Houston, just like Texas Tech, it's not hard to find receivers for the Cougars. So that offense is kind of built on there. But flip side of that, O-line questionable.
O-line questionable. So I think that it's – I hate how much it's like looking in a mirror in a lot of ways. Although I will say, well, proportionally, Houston's kind of doing the same thing that Texas Tech has been doing. And like, we want to run our quarterbacks more than we're running the running backs, because Donovan Smith has already picked up, like, I saw, what was it, 40-something – 46 carries on the season.
To be fair, it was 34 carries on the season, because they, in college football, they count sacks as quote unquote runs. He's been sacked 12 times.
Yeah.
Now, if we know Donovan Smith, and we know a lot of those sacks aren't necessarily the O-line's fault, or some of those sacks aren't the O-line's fault, but a lot of them are. Like, this O-line is porous. They're not great. And so, I wonder how much some of that plays into the fact that this O-line is, with our D-line, we're going to be able to get after D. Smith.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's going to come down, and really, I think defensively, if we're kind of pointing towards that, the key to this game is just doing what we actually do really well, which is the run defense. The box for Texas Tech is really strong. I would say top 5 in the Big 12, no doubt, even with our terrible, terrible record. It is hard for teams to run against us and run against us efficiently. The whole quarterback thing where quarterbacks will spend time in the pass and then decide to run it, That kind of breaks down the defense, no matter really who you are, unless we're deciding to finally spy, which I wish please just start spying. But defensively, I think Texas Tech has a really good advantage in this game for the fact that Houston's porous offensive line plays to our strength. And the hard thing about that, though, is that on the flip side, we're kind of in a similar boat. And we're in a similar boat without as seasoned or without as conditioned a quarterback this season, right? Because Donovan Smith's coming in playing. He's starting all the games. He's finishing all the games. Baron Morton got a little bit of looks at West Virginia. Didn't look great. So now, or he got a little bit. He got good looks at Tarleton State, but again, Tarleton State. Then he got some looks at a real quality Big 12 opponent. Didn't look great. Oh. And now we're kind of like, okay.
Well, so no, I was just going to say, I do think there's something to knowing you're the starter, knowing you're going to play, right? Like, I do think, and don't get me wrong, I know we always talk about, like, you know, next man up and always have your helmet on and you know, always be ready to play, but there is something, we've seen it. I want to bring this piece up. And no, I'm not necessarily comparing the two, but I have made this comparison before. So the first time I ever saw Patrick Mahomes play for Texas Tech, Davis Webb was struggling that year. There were some calls for the true freshman out of White House to be playing. I was like, no, this guy's going to suck. He's a true freshman. He's 18 years old. He's not going to be any good. You just have to stick with Davis Webb, right? First time we saw him play, Davis Webb goes out for a few series, and this, you know, light-skinned kid from White House comes in, and he was awful against Oklahoma State. Terrible. Absolutely terrible. I was able to say, hey, see? This guy stinks. It's not any good. Then he comes back out again. Davis Webb gets hurt again. He plays a few drives against K-State. Still not very good, but better. Not good, but better. Right? Comes out against TCU. Again, stinks. The guy stinks, right? But he throws a touchdown pass. I'm like, okay, well, you know, he still stinks. I still don't think this guy's any good. Against Texas, Texas roughs him up. Boy, Texas goes out to kill him. But he gets back up each time. Gets back up. And then the legend of Pat Mahomes started with the loss against Oklahoma. We lose against Oklahoma, but he throws 4 touchdown passes, no interceptions. And then, of course, everybody remembers Baylor. So The reason I say that is that game against Oklahoma, well, because I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Davis Webb, and I got to remember this back to, this was what, 9 years ago now, 8 years ago. I believe Davis Webb got hurt in that Texas game, right? And he'd been battling injury up until the Texas game. And the Oklahoma game was the first game where Pat knew, I am the starter for this team. There is nobody else. Excuse me. Oh, no, sorry. Texas was actually his first game, but he got hurt in that one. Vincent Testaverde came in. Shout out to Vinny. Vincent Testaverde came in because he got hurt in the Texas game. But I will say, that being said, Oklahoma was the first game healthy, played the whole game. I know I'm the starter. I know I'm QB1. And he went out, had a decent game, and a loss, of course, but had a decent game. So I do think there's something to be said for Baron Morton knowing he's QB1 for the full week. No questions, no ifs, ands, or buts. I got to go out and ball again in front of the home crowd, right? Where we have been a lot better. I mean, there's no doubt about it. We've been a lot better at home. And that's not just that. At this point, I'm calling it a cultural thing for Joey McGuire's staff and for Texas Tech, is that we are Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde, right? We are. And actually, flip side of it, because you want to be on football, Dr. Jekyll. So we are Dr. Jekyll at home. We're mean, scary, big, physical. And we are, offensively, we are soft and nice on the road. And we don't get things done, right? But, you know, I do think that, I'm not saying necessarily to throw the tape on Baron Morton from last week away, but I don't expect the same thing when you know you're QB1 and you're at home. I just don't expect the same thing, the same Baron. I'm hoping to see the Baron we did see last week. I mean, I think we're all hoping to see the Baron we saw last year, I should say, against Oklahoma State, where he was killing.
Yeah, I didn't think about that. I think that's a really good point. And a lot of psychology goes into this, and we kind of touch on it here and there. So I will be interested to see how he kind of – maybe it's just taking – maybe what it really is that it's just taking the pressure off of everything has to look crisp and clean. And you get to go out there, and the ultimate goal is just win, you know. And maybe that's exactly what this offense needs, because we don't have a dude. We don't have a dude. Taj Brooks is a dude, but we refuse to use him, right? And if we're gonna have any chance in this game, you're gonna have to use him. So
we used him last week. We used him yeah. last week. First running back to go over 140 yards in back-to-back games since my boy DeAndre Washington. You know, and so there's that. We did use him last week. It did. I was comforted in the fact that Zach Kittley used a running game again, because he was kind of forced to, but that he at least, it shows that he has confidence, whether that's through him or through his boss saying, boy, you better use him. Because I could easily see Zach, Joey McGuire and Zach Kittley, Joey calling Zach to his office. Listen, son, you see, you know what time it is? It's Taj time.
It's Taj time. But I do think that in the quarterback realm, I wonder, really looking back, how much pressure did like Tyler Shuck hold on his shoulders in those first games, knowing that, you know, a lot of people are excited about Baron Morton and like looking forward to Baron Morton and, you know, hey, Baron Morton probably would get the QB1 look. And like this, there was a lot of like subtle narrative around that. And so I wonder, now that we kind of eliminated that pressure, because like Jake Strong, you know, Jake Strong's on the roster, but I don't think nobody's thinking it's going to be Baron Morton's kind of stinking. Throw it back to Jake.
Nobody's going to say Jake Strong. I will say it is funny how the narrative changed, though. Like the narrative completely changed from, man, Tyler Shuck stinks, to, hold on, now it's not Baron's fault. It's like, I think Emery was the one that posted this Emery Leiter, shout out to Emery, that posted this meme of the juxtaposition to fans talking about Tyler Shuck struggles versus Baron Morton struggles. And it was Gordon Ramsay, where it was like Tyler Shuck's like, you effing donkey. And then it was Baron Morton's like, oh, come here, it's not your fault.
Oh, it's okay.
It's not Kelly's. No, it's not you.
Yeah.
It was exactly how it would have felt like.
So true.
Yeah, you know, so the ultimate goal absolutely this Friday is going to be winning the game, or Saturday, sorry, it's going to be winning the game. That's the team's ultimate goal. I know that's what the fan base wants. Me personally, my ultimate goal is to look good and look fresh, and that's why I got to talk about our partners at Charlie Hustle Clothing Company. Charlie Hustle is a vintage-inspired clothing company based out of Kansas City that specializes in collegiate Texas Tech apparel and their hometown Pat Mahomes Kansas Chiefs apparel as well, right? Because let's face it, whether your primary team are the Houston Texans or the Dallas Cowboys, the Saints or whoever, all of our backup teams are the Chiefs, right? With Pat Mahomes. And that is what Charlie Hustle specializes in. They want each and every one of us to be the best dressed fan this season. So make sure to check out their wide selection of officially licensed collegiate apparel today and show off your Texas Tech spirit all season long. They've got us covered with all the collegiate apparel needs. Incredibly soft gear. Jeremy talked about it before, about his feeling like he's wearing a cloud. That was a nice little ad thing there. And then also, like I said, there are partners. We're working with them. Try to get all of you some of the best gear out there. And not only that, because we're working with them, they're going to hook us all up, right? Use promo code 101215 for 15% off of all non-sale items. That is TEN1215 for 15% off. Shop today at charliehustle.com. Charlie Hustle, vintage made fresh.
And don't forget, we've got the giveaway going on. So we have a tweet up. We'll retweet it today. If you retweet that, follow Charlie Hustle, follow the Tortillas and Takes podcast on Twitter, and you get randomly selected, we'll give you a free t-shirt. Everybody wants a free t-shirt. It costs you literally nothing.
Love free t-shirts.
One millionth of a space on your digital, like a bit, like whatever, just retweet and there you go.
That's right. I've once shoved a kid in the face at a sporting event for a free t-shirt. Please believe it.
we want this Texas Tech team to be anything but soft, but damn it, we want our shirts to be like a cloud.
That's right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's right. So Texas Tech, Houston this Saturday, the mid-off of Texas. I'm going to keep saying it because it's the mid-off. They're both like, let me tell you something. Right now, my expectations for Texas Tech, now I'm just like, please make a bowl game. For Houston, I have thought before the season began, this is the worst team in the conference. Nothing that has happened in the first 4 weeks of the season lead me to believe anything different. They were in a dogfight with UTSA, which UTSA is a decent group of five teams. So I'm nothing to be ashamed of that you were in a dogfight with them, because people expected that to be a close game anyway, right? But they did win the game, and all that matters is the W's. They lose to Rice, which, again, like you said, Rice is a better team than expected. It's still Rice. I don't give a damn. It's still Rice, right? Get blown out by TCU. As expected. And you beat Sam Houston, that just now got promoted to the FBS level. Congrats. I still think this is the worst team in the conference. I think they have a couple studs, like Fleming, the running back, Parker Jenkins. I still like Donovan Smith. I think he's a good player as well, but the team is not good. And they're not good in the trenches. Right, they're not good in the trenches where it matters. O line, D line. That's where they lack. Somebody made the comment that you can tell they don't belong when they get off the bus. They're talking about Texas Tech, which is complete BS. But when it comes to the U of H, you can tell they don't belong when they get off the bus. Like they don't. The team's not big. They're not big. And I think this is one of those situations. Everybody talks about the fact that Texas and Oklahoma are leaving and yada yada yada. This is one of those teams. Time to start beating up on the quote-unquote little guy, right? Prove your dominance a little bit. And like you said, in the new age, it's funny because Houston still leads the all-time series between these two schools. Anybody under the age of 35 will not remember that. Under the age of 40. Screw it, not even 35. Under the age of 40 will not remember that, because we've dominated the series, right? We've absolutely dominated the series, with the exception of that time that Mike Leach went for it on fourth down and didn't get it back in 2009. But outside of that game, we've won most of the matchups, actually all the matchups in the new millennia. So, we just got to do it again. So, before we get to the prize picks prediction, Jeremy, anything else?
There's reason to hope. There's reason to hope.
Reason to hope. I do think the stadium will be packed, so that'll be good. So, prize picks prediction time. Jeremy Gillen. So prize picks, as always, go to prizepicks.com. Make your selection on prize picks. You know, we try to help y'all out. Not enough of y'all using the promo code. But dude, it's free money. Takes 12, TAKES 12. Takes 12. Just like that, they do a full match up to $100. That's a free $100 in your pocket. Talk about getting a free t-shirt. What about free money? Right?
Amen.
You can go ahead and buy a Charlie Hustle t-shirt. right? Still using our promo code, of course. But go ahead and buy a Charlie Hustle t-shirt with that right there, right? So I will say, because we're recording this podcast a little bit late, we do have some Prize Picks pieces here. So, Jeremy, I'm gonna put you to the test a little bit and do some over-unders here. We got a couple. So first things first, Baron Morton, 241.5 pass yards, over-under for Mr. Morton.
That's a gamble. That's the gamble. I like your opinion about knowing you're the starter. I like the idea that he's been working with the ones all week, and he's the only one they're game planning for. So over. Hammer. Hammer.
Hammer at home. Over 241.5. I like it. I like it a lot, and I'm going to agree. Fleming's a beast. They actually have some good corners in here. If they had an interception prop, I probably would stay away from it, to be honest with you. But 241.5, especially since Kittley likes to throw, I agree with that. So, the other guy we have in here, Jerran Bradley, 60.5 receiving yards, over under.
60?
Yeah.
I'm going to say under, actually.
Dang, no faith.
I'm going to say under because I just have not... Then here's the problem is that he may have some drops and he may not get targeted a lot, but he'll probably like catch 3 or 4 and get 120. And then I just sound stupid because he's taking, you know, breaking off really long balls. But that's gonna depend on the game plan. It's going to depend on, you know, Jerran Bradley showing up this week. And against Houston, maybe. But I'm going to just go ahead and say under, but like right under.
You're wrong, Jeremy. I'm hammering the over. He had 88 yards against Wyoming, 83 yards against Oregon. And I think it'd be wise for Morton to say, you know what? Though Dre McCray and X White have kind of been the safety blankets for Morton in the last game against West Virginia, I expect it's effort. Jerran Bradley's out there somewhere. So I'm going to hammer the over there. Give me your most important player on offense in this game.
Taj Brooks. And I will say one more time, Taj Brooks. Listen, Texas Tech needs to run the ball more. Why? Because Taj Brooks. Here's where Houston has been struggling this season. UTSA hammers Houston for over 200 yards on the ground. TCU gets like 250 yards in its win. You have an excellent running back in Taj Brooks. Houston is having a difficult time really holding opposing offenses running attempts. If you know what they're suffering against, go for that. Go for the weakness. Use Taj Brooks. That will also set up the pass. Like, he is such an instrumental player. He's the dude. So that's the pick for me.
Really going out on a limb there, Jeremy. Now, I will say this, though. Last time you did this, and I made fun of you for it, he went out and did another 149-yard game. So I guess I can't roast you too much because you're going out on a limb, but it's a good limb. But you're all right. When they played UTSA, Kavarion Barnes had a 100-yard game. You know, when they played Rice combined, I mean, this is Dean Connors went 8 carries for 48 yards like nothing, right? And then even when playing TCU, Imani Bailey balled out for 126 yards. So I absolutely agree with you that their secondary is their strength, in my opinion. And so let's gash them where they're weak. Their D-line to me isn't very impressive. Their D-line is a little bit more weak, so let's gash them where it matters there. So good piece there. What about defensively? Who do you got?
Hoping that we key in on the fact that they're going to want to use Donovan Smith to do something that we are not good at defending, which is a running quarterback. I hope that it's somebody like Ben Roberts making the big difference here. And we talked about in the chat that Jacob Rodriguez is coming back. Like, his timetable has kind of moved up. He's healing well, seeing a lot of progress there. So we should see him maybe for the Kansas State game, but most likely for BYU, who we play after that. So Ben Roberts, and this kind of goes to that quarterback, you know, knowing your place in the depth chart thing. Ben Roberts has, in a sense, has an idea of like, okay, I came in, I've been making a huge impact. Here's how much time, like, if in my mind I expect him to come back and start, this is how much time I have to make a difference. And so I don't expect Ben Roberts to be like letting off the gas. I mean, this guy has come in and made a difference defensively for this team from game one, and he did it against a really tough team in Oregon. So, for me, Ben Roberts continuing to push the needle, continuing to want to be the it guy for this Texas Tech defense, I hope they use him in some spy formation. Because him against Donovan Smith would be a really good, that'd be a really good matchup.
Yeah, so I was going to say C.J. Baskerville. C.J. Baskerville, you know, had probably his best game as a Red Raider last week, you know, with those seven touchdowns, even though he did let up that – or seven tackles, even though he did let up that touchdown. But, you know, so I was going to say C.J. Baskerville because I think he's getting better. I think that Raider, he's getting better, more comfortable in the Raider position. But I'm going to say this because I truly believe this. If the law firm balls, I don't think we have a chance of losing. If Jalen Hutchins and Tony Bradford ball out right there at the D-tackle spot, D-tackle DN spot, and make it very difficult up the middle for Donovan Smith, where that's where he likes to run. If he's going to run, he's going to try to run up the middle and make that difficult, right? If he can't step up into the pocket or he can't step around the law firm, I don't see a chance of us losing, right? Like that, it's that simple. So I'm going to say the law firm, primarily Jalen Hutchins being a big boy and covering up the middle there, but really both of them, Jalen Hutchins and Tony Bradford. And it'll make that life that much easier for the sack boys, guys like Steve Linton, guys like maybe even a Ben Roberts, right? But Jalen Hutchins had 2.5 sacks just last week alone. Like he is. Talk about guys that are, you know, we talked about how Jerran Bradley's not necessarily living up to the preseason hype as much. You know who is? Jalen Hutchins. That guy's killing it. He's having a really good season. So yeah, but the law firm, both him and Tony Bradford, them balling out there, I think will really help really mitigate the some of the skill that Donovan Smith have. So, Jeremy, your boy comes back to Lubbock, Texas. What is your prize picks prediction for the score? And who wins?
It is going against every bone in my body.
Don't do it.
To have optimism.
Don't do it.
To have a... I think that there's still too many questions for Texas Tech. I think Houston is getting a little bit of momentum. They want to make a statement in the Big 12. So give me Houston winning against Texas Tech for the first time in a long time and for the last time in an even longer period of time. But give me Houston winning like a disgusting, like 27-24 game of just too many mistakes and just somebody getting lucky.
The mid-off of Texas, this is where we are. Jeremy is predicting a Texas Tech loss at home to the Houston Cougars. And with reason. With reason. Like, the team hasn't looked good. We're on our backup quarterback now, who didn't look good last week against West Virginia. No doubt about that.
Yeah, you haven't given me anything to say.
No, I mean, and last time in this game, when we played Houston last year, Donovan Smith actually threw for 350 yards in that game. Right? For Texas Tech.
Needed him for the overtime win.
If it wasn't for Donovan Smith, we probably don't win that game. And that was a game also that was at home in Lubbock that we thought we were going to be able to win. Thought I'd be able to win fairly handily. Ugly 20-20 game. We needed a Trey Wolf field goal to at the very end to the 3 seconds to go to get us there. You know, and like I said, Donovan Smith was a savior. Like, there's nothing really from what we've seen to tell us that we're going to win this game. Except Houston stinks, Jeremy. They stink. They stink. Houston, they're not good.
So do we.
They stink, Jeremy. They are not good by any stretch. I've done a really good job on this podcast of giving them credit where credit's due. I do think they have some beasts in them. Malik Dunlap is actually tied with Malik Fleming for the league lead in interceptions with 3, and actually should have 4, but I digress. It won't surprise me if he even gets an interception in this game against Baron Morton, right? This may be an ugly, disgusting game, but luckily we have such, I think, a benefit in the trenches, both O-line and D-line, right, where we have that advantage. We have linebackers a little bit of a wash, but we have that advantage there. I think our secondary is better because though they have Fleming, they don't have much else, right? They're so bad, Jeremy. They're so bad. They're not a good team. They are not a good team. If they win this game, this might be their only conference win, right? Like, that's how I feel about U of H. The problem here is that a loss here might be a nail in the coffin for Dana Holgorsen, and I don't want that. I would like Dana Holgorsen to be the head coach of the Houston Cougars for a long time. Why? Because he doesn't deserve it, and therefore, they don't deserve to lose him. But I'm gonna keep it going. Texas Tech wins this one. Let's go ahead and say I'm going to steal your 27 for the good guys and say 27 to 17. 27 to 17. Yeah,
dang.
They're not good, Jeremy. This is much more of an indictment.
No, I know
this is much more of an indictment on Houston than it is on Texas Tech. It's not that I'm saying this because I think Texas Tech is good. I'm saying this because I think Houston is that bad, right? Like that's really what it boils down to. And I think we're playing Houston at a time where we need to play a team like Houston, right?
Statistics be damned. It's about who feels worse right now. It's Houston.
Yeah. Well, no. Funny enough, they don't. I don't think. But also, I think the flip side of this is we are a lot better at home. We are a lot better at home. So there's that too. Right, like we do get in a groove. We're just a lot better at home. Now, when we play Texas Tech versus Baylor, that is the true mid-off of Texas. Because both of those two teams, my God, man. Oh, it's a true butt bowl. The true butt bowl. The booty butt bowl, right? But Houston also a nice little mid-off. We're playing them at the right time. And it's a home game. It's a home game. So give me the Red Raiders over the Cougs. 27-17. So yeah, anything else you want to say to the people, Jeremy?
Your women's soccer team is amazing.
They are, man. You know what? Actually, I'm glad you brought that up. The women's soccer team, listen, if we lose this game against Houston, this is going to become a soccer podcast from there on, a women's soccer podcast from here on out. We lose a game on Saturday against Houston, we're just calling it, and we're going to start talking about the women's soccer team because they deserve credit. Huge wins over Texas and Baylor. Last week, two ranked opponents. Now we're top 15 because they've woken up. And they said, you know what? This Texas Tech team is pretty good. Right now, getting up to be the best season we've had since we had this relative unknown. I don't know if you've heard of her, Janine Becky. Since Janine Becky was in tow, this has been the best season since then. And now starting to open up eyeballs, conference championship contenders. Hey, shout out to the soccer team. Shout out to the volleyball team. Yo, the volleyball team's balling out too. Right? Right now. The worst fall sport
is the one you didn't want to be the worst fall sport.
aren't they ranked, the volleyball team?
Are they
still right outside?
They're outside. The women's right team, the soccer team is ranked.
Soccer team is ranked. I knew that, but
understandably, because they have yet to lose. So
yeah, you kind of. It's funny. They drew their first game, and they're like, it's gonna be a rough season. Since then. 10 wins.
Waxing people.
10-01. Yeah, 10-01. So in the group chat, we were like, this team ain't got it this year. After game one, that first draw, and we were like, well, there goes soccer. their draw was against somebody they had no business drawing against. And we were like, there goes soccer. And then sure enough, you know, they've been balling ever since. You know, do they have access to our group chat, Jeremy? You know, is this another thing where I'm going to have a dartboard with my face on it?
Another scenario, yes.
You know, anyways, so hopefully football team, the men's football team can look at the women's soccer team, the women's volleyball team in real and say like, hey, we need this juice. We need some of this juice and ball out against a deplorable team in the Houston Cougars. So for Jeremy Gill and the People's Champ, this is your boy, Abi Shore, and you've been listening to the Tortillas and Takes podcast, part of the 1012 Network. As always, stay wrecked, people.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.